Amen. Good morning. We are in the book of Luke, the fifth chapter, and we're going to read verse 16 as our text verse. And he, Jesus, withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for today and thankful for all the blessings you've given us and each and every one that's here. Lord, we pray for those that are ill and are traveling. Just ask you to bring them back and restore them to their much-needed health. Lord, just ask that as we study your word and that we will take it to heart and Lord, that we may be better servants for you. Thank you for all you've done for us through Jesus. Ask all these things in his name. Amen. I was looking for different things for Thanksgiving, what to preach. Next week I'm going to do a little different. This is going to be a two-parter, but I'll do it after. And I started thinking about prayer and something about Thanksgiving, and I came across an interesting list. It had all the prayers of Jesus, and we're not going to look at all the prayers. We're going to look at 12 different ones, not all this morning. And I found it really interesting, and the Bible tells us that Jesus is our example. And we're during the time of Thanksgiving and things that we should be thankful for. And so anyway, I found this list, and it said Jesus had prayed 25. There's 25 different recorded prayers in the Gospels. And being the time of Thanksgiving, the Bible tells us that we're to be thankful and pray prayers of Thanksgiving, and we'll look at some of those next week. But this morning we're going to focus on part one, and then we'll do a second part in 2 weeks. Prayers that Jesus prayed. So we find that these prayers that Jesus prayed give us insight into his nature, into his heart, into his mission on earth. What was important to Jesus? You know, we pray about things that are important to us. And so we see that what was important to Jesus was things that he prayed about. And sometimes we talk about prayer and we want to know, you know, some things, different things about, you know, where to pray and what position and all this. And if, as you look in the Bible, you're going to see that people prayed standing up, laying down, all kinds of different ways. I'm not going to focus on that in dealing with how Jesus, there was times in which he kneeled. Sometimes it appears he may have been prostrate. Sometimes he was standing. Where he prayed, when he prayed, in what position he prayed. What really seems to be important is the fact that Jesus prayed. And he prayed often. It's, you know, there's only 25 listed, but as we look at them, it just seems like he's always praying, asking for the Father's help. The prayers of Jesus also informs us, and I think as I was looking at them and studying them, encouraged me, and I hope they encourage you in your own prayer life. One of the things we find from the ones that we're going to look at, and especially if you want to look at the list of 25, I'd be happy to share it. Prayer was an integral part of Jesus' life, of his ministry, of his time here on earth. He prayed regularly. Sometimes Jesus' prayers were short. Sometimes it just says he prayed. It doesn't tell us what he prayed. Sometimes it says his prayers were very long. There's a few places where it says he prayed all night long. And sometimes it's not what he prayed, but that he prayed, and we'll consider those. So in our text verse, but if you look in the Greek, the word withdraw, and there are some really good commentaries that bring out the Greek word, it's actually made up of two words, and one of them indicates that it is a routine thing. And so The translation would imply that Jesus, continued his habit and withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. So one of the habits was, obviously he prayed, but I think the habit it's talking about is where he withdrew himself and prayed not just in a group, but he had a very personal prayer life. Now, it's fascinating that Jesus and the Father had this immediate connection, and yet Jesus prayed to the Father, and I think it's a great example for us. Yes, we have a relationship with the Lord, but we also need to communicate with him. It's kind of like a marriage. Joyce and I, we're married, and yes, we have a relationship, but boy, we also need to talk to one another, and Jesus saw his part of the communication with his Father as very, very important. It appears that Mark 1:35 lines up with this when Jesus had withdrawn himself, and Mark gives an interesting take on this in the morning when he had withdrawn himself into this desert place or in this wilderness. It says, in the morning, rising up, a great while before day, so very early in the morning. I'm a night person. I can do mornings. I can set an alarm. I can get up. But Jesus was up very, very early before sunrise. He went out, and the disciples had been there, but he went out, he departed into this solitary place or into the wilderness, and there he was praying and had been praying for a while, and then his disciples wake up, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. Now, it almost sounds like they followed him out to pray with him, but when you look at the next verse, it says, when they found him. So the idea was they hadn't gone out to pray with him. He had gone out to pray by himself, and when they woke up, he was gone. And they were like, where'd he go, right? And they were looking for him. Simon and the disciples were trying to find out where he was. And when they found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. We've been looking for you. Where did you go, Jesus? And one of the things I think is really important is, you know, sometimes in our prayer life, praying with others, public prayer, but we also need solitude, quiet time with the Lord, also in prayer. And this was one of the prayers that Jesus prayed, and that he went by himself. And we see from these verses how important prayer was to Jesus. He did it on a regular basis, it indicates in Luke 5 and Matthew 1, even to the point where he would get off before the disciples were even awake, so he could have some quiet time and spend time with the Father in prayer by himself. It just indicates how important prayer is. If the Son of God found it necessary to pray to the Father frequently, how much more do we need to do so? And Hebrews 4, I really like this verse. It indicates how important coming before God in prayer is. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us come boldly. Boy, God wants us to come to him in prayer in boldness. You know, it's kind of like you don't know a famous person and you go up to them and you don't have this boldness, but moms and dads, kids have boldness with their parents. God is our parent. God is our Father. God has a relationship with us. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to come boldly unto his throne, that we may obtain mercy, that we may find grace, that we can find help when we have need. And Jesus went to the Father often. And he is our example. If Jesus saw the need to pray, surely we have the need to come unto the throne of grace for help to find mercy and grace. The very first thing, before we talk about prayers that Jesus prayed, I want to talk just for a moment about the Lord's Prayer. And we could do a whole series of sermons on this. I just want to quickly touch on what is often called the Lord's Prayer, better known as the Model Prayer. In Matthew 6 chapter, it's the Sermon on the Mount, and there Jesus is preaching to his church, teaching his church, his disciples, and as he is teaching, chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, to his church, to his disciples, he teaches his church how to pray. And there in Matthew 6, verse 9, he says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." Now, if you go to Luke, the 11th chapter, the first verse, and verse through verse 4, the disciples come to Jesus, and he says, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And it's interesting that he gives them almost word for word this, what we call the Lord's Prayer, or what is better called the Model Prayer, or teaching prayer, teaching us how to pray. That's what the disciples said. "Lord, teach us." Jesus says, "Pray in this manner," Model Prayer, the prayer that teaches us how to pray. There are seven elements, and I just want to quickly touch, and I don't think every prayer has to have every one of these elements, but again, Jesus is just trying to teach us the importance of prayer and some of the important things to include when we pray. The first one has to do with the fact that who we pray to. We're approaching our Father, and Jesus says, "When you pray, ask these things in my name." That's why I when I close my prayer, in the name of Jesus, in his name, however you word that, that's how we're to approach God's throne. But the very first thing he teaches us that we're to approach our Father, acknowledging a relationship with God. And then the second thing is honoring God, being honoring to his position and who he is. We're taught to honor our parents when we make requests of our parents, talk to our parents. It should be in an honoring way, and we should also definitely be honoring to God our Father. And then the third part of this prayer is to pray for God's will to be done, not only on earth, but especially in our life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then the fourth thing starts three different things that we should do on a daily basis. And the first one is, God, take care of us today. Our daily provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Meet our needs, whatever those needs are, on this day. On a daily basis, I believe we should ask forgiveness. Forgive us our debts. Also, it's interesting reminding ourselves not only to that we need forgiveness, but that we should also be asking forgiveness of others, that we also need for forgiveness and to forgive others. And on a daily basis, to ask for spiritual protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then closing, honoring God's authority. "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Now, again, we could look at this in greater detail, but I just want, because Jesus taught us how to pray, and I wanted us to touch on that because I do believe that's really important. So I want us now to look at prayers that Jesus prayed. And there are 12 that we're going to look at. We're going to look at probably 6 today if we get through those. I believe we will. And it's kind of, I find it interesting the occasion that he prayed, and why he prayed, when he prayed. And the very first one, we find the prayer that Jesus prayed was at his baptism. And it's interesting, we look at some of the gospel writers, it just says that he was baptized and there was the dove and the Holy Spirit in the form of the dove and then the voice from heaven. But Luke gives an interesting account. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized. Now, Luke doesn't give the account of Jesus coming to John and John saying, "No, I don't want to baptize you. It's not right. I shouldn't." And Jesus says, "To fulfill all righteousness." Right? We've covered that, preached on that recently. And it's interesting. Luke focuses on a different element, and that element is Jesus being God, and yet he prayed, and we have the Trinity here. It's really fascinating. It appears that some of the other, I think it's Matthew, it may be John, and as Jesus comes up out of the water, it talks about the dove descending. Here it says, Jesus also being baptized and praying. The heavens opened. Now, I don't know what that looked like. I've never had, as I was baptizing someone, I never had anybody pray, "Lord, don't let them drown me." I don't know what they would be praying. I don't know. I know I've had people voice concerns about, you know, being baptized and all those things. But it's interesting that Jesus is praying. Now, is that an audible prayer? We can only imagine that it probably was. But he records that he's praying, and as he's being baptized and as he is coming up praying, again, it doesn't tell us what the words are. It just tells us that at this important event, Jesus found it important, found it necessary to be praying. No important event in our life should go by without us praying about it, including the Lord in all of our actions and all of our decisions. And as this was happening, the heaven opened, the Holy Spirit like a dove upon him. It wasn't a dove. They knew it was the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure what all that looked like. It must have been incredible, fantastic. And then a voice from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What an incredible picture. Jesus praying, the Holy Spirit there, God the Father speaking, and we have the Trinity all there at the very first act of Christ's obedience, starting his personal ministry. And it indicates, too, I think, that we should be praying at important events, important things that happen in our life. The second thing is that Jesus prayed when they ate. Now, there is the story of Jesus feeding 5,000. That's this one here in the book of Luke. There's also a story of Jesus feeding 4,000. And they had gone out, and Jesus is teaching, and there are little ways from all of the villages where these people could be fed. Now, both of these indicate that the number 5,000 and the number 4,000 was the men, and besides that, there were women and children. Sometimes we talk about Jesus feeding here in this case 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Actually, the number had to be more than that, because not only were there men there, which is the only ones that were numbered, but there were also indicated women and children, and it appeared that everybody was fed. So was there 10,000, 8,000? I don't know, but there was 5 loaves, and the loaves they're talking about are personal little loaves, and probably a flatbread, more like a tortilla, maybe a pita type bread, and 2 fish, and these fish would have been a large size perch would probably have been the kind of fish that we're talking about. And so he took this measly amount and he blessed it. And the part I want us to get is that, you know, at important events or any event, or even even mundane events, like eating, right? Being thankful for what we have. Jesus was thankful for this little bit. You know, and whether you say grace when you eat or not, that's however the Lord lays that on your heart. I had one individual, I said, let us say grace. And he says, that's okay, Pastor, I bless the food when I bring it into my house. I have no problem. However you want to be thankful to the Lord, that's up to you. I think there's lots of reasons as I sit down to eat that I want to bless the food. One, it reminds me at that moment to be thankful. It also, Joyce and I sometimes find ourselves in a restaurant, and there's a lot of people that have come by, and it started a conversation just because we were thankful and chose to ask grace and bless God for the food that we were going to be eating. And so he took it, gave it to his disciples. They ate, they were all filled, and they took up all these different fragments. We need to be thankful for what God does give us. And then in Matthew, there's another, this instance, there's 4,000 if you read verse 38, and they that did eat, were 4,000 men, right? Besides women and children. So there was a larger number than just the 4,000. Same with the five. And the thing I want to point out here is that as he took this, he gave thanks. Another time in which Jesus ate was during the Passover, the very last Passover. If you go to Matthew 26. And during the Passover, there was different prayers that were to be prayed. But we know that during the Passover, Jesus took and instituted the Lord's Supper. And there in Matthew 26, and in those verses, he took the bread and he gave it. And it says he blessed it. And then also as he did the fruit of the vine, he took it and he said, drink ye all of it. And he gave thanks. Those are the two different words or phrases it uses when Jesus blessed that meal and the two different elements of that meal. And we do that when we take the Lord's Supper. We follow that same thing and bless, ask the Lord to bless and give thanks for what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. The third time in which Jesus prayed, and again, we're not going to look at all 26 or 25 of those. We're just going to look at some that really stood out to me. Jesus prayed during his transfiguration. I could almost say at the moment of his transfiguration. I find it fascinating. I'll be honest with you, I never noticed this before. I know that Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was there, he was transformed. But I never put the two together. I just found it fascinating. And it came to pass about 8 days after the saying. Now, when they say 8 days, they actually mean a week. So they count. It'd be Sunday to Sunday. If I was to say, talk about next Sunday, I'd say 7 days, right? Because we don't count this day. Well, they count the day they were in. So when they say 8 days, they're talking like Sunday to Sunday or Monday to Monday. And I don't remember what day this fell on. If we know if it's a Sabbath, I don't think so. I don't think we know what day this is. But a week after whatever had happened before, he takes Peter, James, and John, which he often did. There were three disciples, his inner three, if you will, that he often did special things with. And we'll see this later when Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he took Peter, James, and John, and it's always these three that he does this, and he goes up to a mountain to pray. Now, it's interesting, here he goes up to a mountain to pray. Before, it was to a desolate place or a desert place or a wilderness place. Here it's on up on a mountain, just happens to be that's where they are. So he goes by himself with his other three disciples. And then it says, and as he prayed, See, if I was to tell this story before I read this, I'd have said he prayed, and then the transfiguration happened. But as he is praying, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and he was transformed, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, Moses and Elijah, and it talks about the conversation they had was about how he was going to be fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies. And then they come down, he comes down from the mountain, and Peter says, "Oh, wow, this was impressive. Let's build these tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses." Peter has these great ideas, right? And God speaks, and he says, "Hear my son." I interpret that, "Peter, be quiet, listen to Jesus." I think we could all take that advice. You know, sometimes we need to quit talking so much and listen more to what God is saying for us. But this incredible transformation happened as he was praying. Now, I can tell you, I've never been transformed. That's not what I'm going to say. But I can tell you, as I have prayed, especially as I have just immersed myself in prayer, that there have been things that God has revealed to me and has opened up to me, and it has been good for me. And that may not have happened if I hadn't been immersed in prayer. And as Jesus was immersed in prayer, this incredible transformation happens for him here on the mount. Jesus, the fourth thing I want us to consider this morning, prayers that Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed all night before he made a really important decision. Now, the decision is that he is going to appoint the 12 apostles. And it says, I think it's Ephesians, I'd have to look the verse up, but it says, and he set some in his church, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and it gives a long list of things there that are offices in his church. And it's really interesting that Jesus saw it important. Now, who is Jesus, right? He's God. Yet, he is one part of the Godhead. And the plan that God, the Trinity, has, each part plays a part, and they're in communication. And so it came to pass that he goes up into this mountain to pray, and he continues all night. And when it was day, he calls his disciples, and this, I believe, he's calling his church, those who have been baptized, and those that have been called out to be his church, and from and of them, right, of his church members, he chooses 12, right? So there is a bigger group that he chooses 12, and that's what it says there in Ephesians. He set some in his church, first apostles, right, and then whom he also named or gave them the title of apostles. Now, this title of apostle ends with these 12. We have Matthias, and then we have Apostle Paul, as it Bible describes as one born out of due time. But those are the only offices that we have, people that have fulfilled the office of apostles. Verses 14 through 16, it lists those. But what I find interesting is that this was important to Jesus. Before he did this for his church, he not only prayed about it, it was all night that he had communed with God about this important decision. And I would imagine the prayer included, you know, "Lord, as I, Father, as I make these decisions, but Lord, as I put these men, install these, be with them, help them fulfill this important role." And we should be praying for one another also, as we all do different things in our lives. There's so many things we can apply in our prayer life about seeing Jesus prayed. It doesn't even tell us what he prayed, but we can sure make some, I think, pretty good assumptions about what he would have been praying about, what he would have been concerned about in talking to God the Father about. And the fifth thing that I want us to consider this morning, prayers that Jesus prayed, is that he prayed at the return of the disciples, the 70, when he sent them out two by two. And he first sends out the 12, and then they come back. But it's interesting, and again, I will tell you that if somebody said this story as Jesus talked to the 70 at their return, he said a prayer, it didn't stand out to me. Some of them, I could tell you, yes, Jesus prayed at these events. When Jesus picked his disciples, I knew he had prayed all night about that. Some of them really stand out. But some of them, it's like, oh, that's an important event. And yet, and he found time, he found it important to pray about that. When the 70 had returned, and he told them to go out, and they were to preach, go two by two, and they were to tell people about Jesus. And they came back and they were really excited. The 70 returned again with joy. It was a great experience, this going out and witnessing for the Lord, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. It was amazing, the ministering, the things that happened as we were out witnessing for you. And in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. He was glad that it went well, and he was excited. They were excited. Sometimes we see Jesus as uninvolved, unemotional, and yet here he would he was happy with them. He was happy for them. I believe Jesus experiences those same emotions with us and for us while he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And it says, in that hour that Jesus rejoiced and he said, now, I added prayed, but I think we can see there's a prayer here. I thank thee, O Father, right? This is a prayer. This is how he told us to pray. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. There are people on the earth who think they're so smart about religious things and relationships with God. They don't have a clue. And Lord, I'm glad they don't understand, but you have revealed them unto these disciples, unto these babes. And they're so excited. And Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And he turned unto his disciples and he said privately, now I don't think this is part of the prayer, but I found it fascinating. First he prayed, right? In this prayer that he prayed here for the disciples and how it went well. And then he goes on and he says this, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you have not seen them, and to hear the things which you hear and have not heard. Jesus, in another place, read in a synagogue from Isaiah 53, and as he gave it back to the keeper of the scroll, he said, today in your ears, this prophecy is fulfilled. And that's basically what he's saying. And he's praying to the Father, Lord, thank you that they get to experience these incredible things. We should be thankful for the incredible things that we get to experience because we are children of God. And then the last one that we're going to look at this morning is Jesus prayed Lazarus' tomb. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said, again, it doesn't say prayer, right? But we know it's a prayer because it reads just as he taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me also, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, one of the interesting things about this prayer is that Jesus was praying this prayer not just to communicate with the Father, but it was also for the benefit of those others that were hearing what he was saying. I can tell you, I have had opportunity to pray prayers that I wanted to make sure that I understood that I was praying out loud and that other people would be hearing. And in some ways, it was a way to witness to them. Not that I was speaking to them, I was speaking to God, but I knew that they would be hearing. And we're going to see that in the next set of prayers too, where Jesus does this, that sometimes our prayers aren't just vertical. What I mean by that, you know, we have a relationship with God that's vertical. God is in heaven, right? So that's a vertical relationship. And God wants us to have a vertical relationship with him. We pray vertically to God. We pray to heaven, right? Our Father, which art, where is God? In heaven. So that's a vertical relationship. But you know, we also have, and God wants us to have, horizontal relationships. My relationship with you as a child of God is important. And our interaction is also part of our vertical relationship. So horizontal relationships or personal relationships are also important. And as we pray vertically to God, and God hears us, sometimes our prayer also are about people. And we can witness to people in how that we react, how we respond, how we have a conversation with God. And Jesus is doing that. He is witnessing to them with his conversation that he has with God. So in that, now that I've said that, I want to read it again. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. First, he just says, God, thank you. You've heard me. And he's already talked about some things, and he's going to raise up Lazarus. He's thanking him ahead of time that he's going to hear him when he says, Lazarus comes forth. God's going to empower Lazarus and bring him back to life. And he says, I knew that thou hearest me always. Now, I believe that God always hears me. Sometimes I have felt like my prayers don't go any farther than the roof. And I've said that kind of stuff. I believe God hears me, but sometimes if I'm not right with God, it's not going to get a response. Does that make sense? I still believe that God hears every prayer. I don't think he turns a blind ear, if you will, or a deaf ear. I guess you don't turn a blind ear. a deaf ear, I guess, would be the saying. I believe God hears us, but I believe there are things that in our life that will block him from responding. He says, if you come to the altar and you have aught with your brother, God will forgive us if we forgive others. So there are things sometimes God will hear, but it prevents a response. I don't like it when I talk to people. You know, I'll talk to Joyce and I'll say something and you know, maybe I'm looking away and she'll nod, or, you know, our thing is, what did you say? We can't hear each other. And I'll feel like she didn't respond. And that's very annoying, right? Nobody likes to not be responded to. God hears us, but how do we know that he's hearing? We want a response. But sometimes we don't get a response because we are the ones preventing the response. Anyway, Jesus here is saying this, and I know you always hear me. But because of the people which stand by it, that's why I prayed this out loud. He could have said it privately, he could have said it silently, and yet I said it out loud so they could hear what I'm praying and see the power of God when I go on and ask Lazarus to come forth, that they may believe that thou hast sent me, that I am from God. And when he had thus spoken, or after he had said this prayer, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And God heard his prayer, right? And he that was dead, Lazarus, bound hand and foot, his face bound about with a napkin, he came out of the tomb. And yet he couldn't see, kind of comical thing there. And Jesus says, hey, it's great. Now let's untie him, unbound him. let him go. But it's incredible that Jesus prayed this prayer, and Jesus and God heard him. And we see the power there of God. But sometimes prayers are prayed as a witness, so other people can also hear about our relationship with God and also want a relationship with God. In closing, Peter tells us Jesus is our example. For even hitherto were you called because he suffered for us, leaving us an example. In lots of things, Jesus left us an example. One of those is praying. Lots of important things and unimportant things in Jesus' life, he always started with prayer. And that should be our example. Prayer is important. That we should follow his steps. Prayer should be important in our life. Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul says this, be careful for nothing. In everything, right? By prayer and supplication, Jesus set that example. In lowly things, he prayed. In important things, he prayed. Prayer, supplication, with Thanksgiving. We're in the month of November, a time in which we think about Thanksgiving, and I want us to think about that. That's why I'm talking about prayer. That's one of the ways in which we can go to the Lord and literally say, thank you, God, for all you've done for us. With Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through the grace of Jesus Christ. So this peace and this having contentment that is beyond comprehension, that the world doesn't comprehend, is tied in to our prayer life and is tied in to our thankfulness to God and coming to God, making our request known unto him. As the pianist and song leader will come forward, let's all stand. How are you doing with your prayer life? Praying during important events and even mundane things, and how are you doing with being thankful as we talk about Thanksgiving and being thankful the month of November? What page you have for us?